Greetings, everybody. This is Beth from Galactic Roundtable. I'm so happy to be here with you tonight. There's a lot of news since I last spoke to you. I have been saying that I've been working on my new website, and I have been doing that, but I've had untoward interruptions that have been unbelievable. And I find it very amusing. It's upset some of you out there, and I'm sorry for that, but I didn't have anything to do with it, and I'm working to fix it. So my new website, I should be able to launch it tonight. I've been working very hard on it. It has all new material. So it'll be the same, website address as before, but it will have a new look and new information. So I'll be putting that out on Facebook, and you'll be able to see when it's ready. Besides that, you may have noticed that I started working with a social media platform, and its job is to let me post to 25 Twitter accounts, a Facebook account, Stumble Upon, Diggo, Reddit, LinkedIn, Google Plus, all simultaneously. And when you do that, and when you use a robot to do that, then it causes the articles and the YouTubes to go out. It opens it up like a rose opening its petals. It goes out much, much further than me just posting individual posts because the robot is in action helping you do that. And when I did this experiment, I got 30,000 views on articles and YouTubes in a week. So what happened after that was my Facebook account was cloned and hacked. And when after it was hacked, whoever was operating the website was sending personal messages to my friends on my real account and asking for money using my identity. So that was very serious, and I had to deal with that. And then it was less than a week later, my personal email account that I used to email all of you was hacked also. So I got 20 emails yesterday of people asking me, "Is your email account hacked?" Well, they had sent so many emails out of my Gmail account that Gmail locked up my account. I was locked out of it. I couldn't reply to the emails. If I tried to reply to say, "Yes, I was hacked. No, I didn't do it. I'm sorry for the inconvenience," then Gmail would send me a little, I'd get a window pop up and it would say, "You've sent too many emails today." I think they sent emails to anything that I've replied to, even when you order something off of online and it gets delivered to your house. Even companies I haven't dealt with in 2 years got an email from me because I got, automatic replies from their computer servers saying, "We got your email," whatever, So there's also been other things in my life, and it has been nuts. I can't explain it. What I do know is that Saturn has turned direct today. It's back direct, and now it's conjunct with six other planets that have also turned direct, one after the other, in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And it's a big change in the energies. I've also been hearing from people who've been having personal challenges, and what I can tell you is there is nothing, nothing, nothing in your life, which is, let's say there's been a financial debt or something in your life that's been kind of following you around, but you felt there was nothing you could do about it. Everything's being brought up now to be cleared away. And it's not a joke. So I will finally have the website done. And Mother Sekhmet wants to bring a new message to everybody. So that will be posted in the next day or two. And hopefully I'll be back on track. I would like to continue to post to staged. It's worked very well for me to get the word out about disclosure. I still need to find two people who want to join and help me with that. So if that interests you, if you have your own business or there's some way you can benefit from that, I love staged. it got me out there so much that they wanted to take me down. And so I'm going back to stage. I just need a little bit of help with that. I'm putting that out there if you've been considering it for a while. I want to start out tonight to present a news article that came out about the NSA. So if you've been reading me for the last 6 years, you know that I've been saying that long that in 1961, NSA astronauts landed on the moon. They did that with the help of extraterrestrial technology that they were given from the negative extraterrestrials many years before that. And that was 8 years before NASA landed on the moon. NASA is the cover story. And their budget has been drastically cut last year. You saw that. They would like to delete NASA and close them down completely, but they can't because they've been using it to continue the truth embargo, to make us think that the only thing we're doing happens through NASA. That's not true. NSA astronauts were on the moon 8 years before NASA. And when NASA landed and Neil Armstrong stepped out, NSA astronauts and extraterrestrials were both sitting there to greet him. And they told them to never come back to the moon. And that's why we never went back to the moon. Yes, we had other missions to the moon. Some landings were real. Some landings were faked. They did that because, you know, when there's that much information out there, some of it's real, some of it's not real, then it's much easier to keep a truth embargo going when you play it like that. We know that Carl Wolf in 1964 was at Langley, and he was the specialist who knew how to run those imaging machines, and they had found images of structures on the moon, and he saw them, and he testified in 2001, May of 2001 at the National Press Club, and he said in 1964, 5 years before we landed on the moon, they had pictures of the structures on the moon, those megalithic giant structures that you can't mistake. And he said, I saw them. It took him 3 days to fix those imaging machines that they were using. And when he showed up on the scene, there were people walking around all over the place. It was very busy, and they all had on visitors tags, and they were all from other countries, and they had all come to see the structures on the moon. 5 years before we landed on the moon, NSA had those pictures, and it was at Langley that they were looking at them. This truth embargo is a web that is weave upon weave of layer upon layer of truth and lies mixed together, and they've done a good job keeping the truth away from us for a long time. So this presentation I want to share is a guy who worked with NSA for 20 years, and things became so Orwellian that he could no longer keep his silence. And he was interviewed on Russian TV, and this interview came out in the last couple of weeks. It's a very recent interview. So as Edward Snowden reveals more NSA documents, eventually they're going to come out and tell us NSA astronauts have been out there a long time, going into deep space, bringing back payloads, and more. I won't share the "and more" tonight because, quite frankly, I'm trying to keep myself alive. And it's gotten hairy lately. So let's check out this video. It's very good.
Yield more information about the government's secret spying program. The man who leaked the story, Edward Snowden, has been thrust into the spotlight. However, it's important to remember that this is far from the first time someone has come forward to expose the overreach of the NSA. Before Edward Snowden, it was Thomas Drake, former senior executive. And before him, it was Bill Binney, a former intelligence official. But before Binney, the very first person to claim the title of NSA whistleblower is a man you've probably heard the least about. His name is Russell Tice, and he served 20 years within various government intelligence agencies, including the NSA. 2005, Tice blew the whistle on the NSA engaging in unlawful and unconstitutional surveillance of American citizens, So here to tell us his story and why he thinks that Snowden's leaks are just barely scratching the surface, Russ Theis, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
What did you see that made you come out and blow the whistle initially?
Well, the first thing I saw was I'm a satellite system specialist. So with the things that I was doing with satellites, I found out sort of inadvertently that American citizens were being spied upon by our space capabilities. So that was my first sort of...
Did you hear what he just said? Our U.S. citizens... capabilities. We are using those satellites. We're using machines we don't know exist. We're using extraterrestrial technology given to the NSA decades ago that they've been working on since then to improve and improve with all that they've learned and re-engineered. They're spying on all of the U.S. citizens and others with space technology.
Heads up into what was going on, and I was just shocked because NSA was not supposed to do this. It was against regulation, it was against the law, it was against our Constitution. So it was sort of a come to Jesus moment for me.
Sort of a wake up call there.
Okay, he had his come to Jesus moment. Now listen up. There was a big splash across New York Times today, Washington Post. Everybody ran the story. They were so excited because the Supreme Court ruled that it's illegal to tap phones without a court order. And we should be so happy about that. They're saying in the newspaper articles, this is a big triumph. Well, that's a bunch of malarkey. Do you know why? We still have the Patriot Act in place. So that means nothing. Until they revoke the 13-year-old Patriot Act, nothing. Nothing is a triumph. They're just trying to make us feel a little bit better now that we found out about the NSA.
The NSA abuses go far beyond what people are even talking about right now. How far does it go, Russ?
Well, it goes very far because initially what I saw was they were targeting news organizations. They were targeting U.S. companies that did international business. They were looking at financial institutions. But they were also going after the State Department and Secretary of State Colin Powell at the time. And they were going after high-ranking military generals. And that was just with my space capabilities that I saw. Now, later, when I got...
Notice he said again, that was just with my space capabilities that I saw. He's not saying that by mistake. That's not the phrase he has to use. We would still understand if he used a lesser phrase. He's really trying to get that out there, that he noticed that with the space capabilities that he saw. We have to wake up to how advanced they are. They have the extraterrestrial technology that's 1,000 years ahead of us. And I'm just using 1,000 as a number. It's not true. It's much further advanced than that.
Together with colleagues, and we started to put together the terrestrial side. That's the side that is being done with all those nodes all over the country with the fiber optics and that sort of thing. Then we found out that it got much worse because, and this was just the phone that we were looking at, but it was also being done at the email level, but that wasn't the information I was getting. The information I was seeing were phone numbers that were being plugged into a system that was going after people's phone numbers and associated numbers, and a lot of numbers I wasn't even sure, but they went after law firms and lawyers. They went after more generals. General Petraeus was one of the guys. It seemed like right about that 3-star level was they were going after admirals and generals. They went after the Supreme Court, of which I held Judge Alito's paperwork in my hand, numbers associated with Judge Alito that someone had put into the system that NSA used to spy on Judge Alito.
And let's just break this down a little bit, because these are explosive allegations right now that I have not heard anyone talk about before, that there are actually orders that you personally saw in your hands to wiretap Judge Alito, high-ranking intelligence officers, David Petraeus, Barack Obama.
Wannabe Senator Barack Obama. At that time, he wasn't even a senator. He had won his primary in Illinois, And I think maybe the catalyst, and I'm not sure, was the fact that he had just done a big speech at the Democratic convention. Now, I was at that time a lifelong Republican. I didn't even watch the Democratic convention. So at the time, the significance of it really didn't hit me until later. I mean, I did look up, well, who's this guy, Barack Obama? Well, okay, he made a speech, blah, blah, blah. But then, of course, later, things, started to, come into play that this is our future president of the United States.
And you've also said that this is not just in their congressional offices. I mean, we're talking about home surveillance and personal.
Correct. This would be, for a senator or a congressman, it would be personal phone numbers associated. It would be, and a lot of the times I could not tell because there were a lot of the numbers were unlisted. And we would go to try to reverse to find out where these numbers were. And we were being very careful about it because we didn't want too many people to figure out how we were doing that. But we would find that it would be associated with family members, especially wives or spouses, the other direction. But it would be their district office. If it was a congressman for whatever state, they'd have two or three or four little district offices back home.
So
it would
pervasive.
It would be very
I guess the next inclusive. Question is, who was administering the surveillance?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. It looked like the plugging in of these phone numbers was being done in the evenings at NSA. So almost it was like being done on the sly, even so that most NSA employees did not know what was going on. Now, a high-level person at NSA told me this was being directed from the vice president office. That would be Vice President Dick Cheney. Now, I don't know that for sure, but that's what I was told from a very senior person at NSA.
So a high-level Bush administration official. I guess the next question is, why? Why was it being done? I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is blackmail.
I don't know the answer to that either.
What do you think? I mean, based on your experience, Russ.
There's only one reason why they would wiretap everybody on both sides of the aisle, and that would be so they could manipulate everything. If they hear about a meeting that's taking place, if they hear about an argument that will be presented in court, if they hear any information whatsoever, they can be on the scene before it happens and manipulate it so it doesn't go down like it was going to. They wanted to control everything. And you can bet your bottom dollar that that's Dick Cheney doing that. Absolutely.
Well,
what could the reason be to be wiretapping and spying on people like Obama, Judge Alito, Petraeus?
I think you hit the word. To me, I don't know for sure, but that would be a means of control. If you were to look and be able to listen to everybody's conversation for years on end for a period of time, you could probably find out perhaps some salacious information that could be used to control that individual.
Listen, she said she thought maybe it was blackmail. And he said, I agree with you. And then he said, it's for control. It's because they could manipulate everything that hasn't happened yet by knowing the conversation beforehand. It has nothing to do with blackmail, nothing at all.
Now, if say it's the intelligence community, I noticed that the intelligence community is not being hit with the sequester. The intelligence budget. Well, how is that possible? Is there some kind of leverage that's being placed on our three branches of government to make sure that the intelligence community is gets what they want? In other words, is the intelligence community running this country, not our government?
And I guess that begs the question, what is there some sort of shadow government at play? I mean, are we talking about the military-industrial complex here? What do you think?
Let's take a break and talk a minute. He just said, is the intelligence community running our country and not our government? Profound words, wouldn't you say? However, what we don't realize on a day-to-day basis or even think about are the intelligence groups which are running our country that are holding on to the truth embargo that we never, never hear about. We don't hear about the ASA. That is the Army Secret Intelligence Agency. The ASA was absorbed into another intelligence agency with a five-letter acronym that I can't even remember right now. But they are stationed all over Europe. They are stationed all around the world. And they've been running spying only on the subject of extraterrestrials since the beginning. These guys started back in the 1940s when we started having crash landings of UFOs. In the 40s and 50s, there's a long list of crashes, and some of them were crafts that were shot down that we never hear about. And I have the whole list. That's going to be on my new website, and you'll see it. There are other intelligence agencies we never hear about. The DIA, for example, the Defense Intelligence Agency. Its counterpart to the CIA, which was set up just to deal with extraterrestrials in the beginning. CIA, DIA, ASA. There are others that they keep secret from us and they never mention. So is the intelligence community running our country, not our government? Are you kidding me? Yes, that's what the truth embargo is about. That's why we need full galactic disclosure. That's why I'm here on the radio and posting 7 days a week.
As an insider and through all your research and people that you've talked to, who's running the show here, Russ?
Well, remember, I don't know for sure. I just know that a whole lot of people got wiretapped. But if I had to guess, I would say it's the upper echelon of the intelligence community that's running this show.
And it makes me wonder, people like Dick Cheney, I mean, are they still working behind the scenes? We know that these people have been working behind the administration and behind the scenes for decades. I mean, Kissinger, all these people, they're kind of, who knows? I mean, do you think that they're still vetting people like Obama, you know, to get in the positions that he's in? But you know what? Political opponents have been spying on each other for decades. So how is this different now?
But what's different about this is this is at the Orwellian scale. This is the everything scale. This isn't just Richard Nixon going after a few, you know, enemies list. This is everybody and everything. And now NSA, NSA is literally tapping every communication, every digital communication in this country. Content, not just the metadata, the content. And when they're saying, well, it's not that far, once again, they are lying. They continue to lie about the full capability.
Right. What's your response to Obama consistently saying we're not doing that?
The previous president in April of 2004, you know, condescendingly pointed at a camera and said, "We only do such things with a court order." Now, I did not know at the time that the president was lying because I did not know how high up, you know, that went. But now we know President Bush was lying, you know, blatantly to the American people. So now President Obama is lying to the American people. Is it because he's being controlled? I don't know, but I certainly.
The only reason President Obama would be lying about, you know, this wiretapping or anything else is because he's holding back the information until it's time for disclosure. Disclosure will come from the intelligence community, the Department of Defense, and MJ-12 coming forward and tapping Barack on the shoulder and saying, it's time for you to disclose now. This isn't Barack's moment to decide when it happens. He has to be the one who does it because he's the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. And the armed forces, especially the Air Force, are the ones who are keeping this truth embargo in place. Barack can't just show up on TV any old day he wants to do that, but he knows he will do that. And why is that he can't just do that? This is not about Barack saying to the world, we are not alone in this universe. He will say that, but that's not what this is about. That will change everything the moment he says that, but that's not what this is about. What this is about is the second that Barack does that, he needs to call a new Nuremberg trials. What are Nuremberg trials? Nuremberg trials are military trials, military trials. The military, the U.S. Air Force, amongst others, is keeping us in the truth embargo. And when World War II ended, we ran military trials against the SS officers. Adolf Hitler was called to the trials. He didn't come, you know, obviously. But we ran military trials on everybody who had committed war crimes during World War II. And now we will have Nuremberg trials to try all of the military officers who have held the truth embargo in place and have used the information, have kept the extraterrestrial technology from us, and have kept the science away from us, and in doing so, have run wars to pay for their exploration of deep space. So that's how it's tied back to the military. And Barack Obama, being the chief commander, the commander-in-chief of the military of the United States, is the only one who can disclose because of his role in the military. He is head of the military. And he will call Nuremberg trials not only for United States citizens, but for citizens around the world, for the intergalactic war criminals. Not only will they go to the International Criminal Court at The Hague, when they're found guilty there, they will go to the Solar Tribunal at Saturn, and they will be tried there too. So this is a really big story. And we have to understand these little nuances of why it's happening this way. The intelligence community is running the government, not the government. And it will take the government charging the intelligence community and the military and tell them to stand down because they're going to trial. And that's why we have to have all our ducks in a row and everything has to be just so. And when that happens, those in charge at the Pentagon, at MJ-12, in the intelligence community, who want disclosure, they want the extraterrestrial technologies out there, they want free energy to come to the world, they know that it's time to shift that over, they know we can't go forward without doing that, they will one day tap Barack on the shoulder and tell him, stump up to the podium, it's time to tell the people that we're not alone in this world. You can tell them now. And believe me, he's working with Lady Masternada and Patrick Leahy and others, and the entire Supreme Court will be indicted, except for the two justices that are not dirty. And that would be Elena and Sotomayor. I can always only remember the first name of one and the last name of the other, but I'll get better at that. Those two are working with the White Knights. The rest are going straight to jail, if they're lucky.
Know when he was candidate Obama, even though I was a Republican and I heard that he wanted to stop these things, that he was going to make sure that we didn't have national security letters just willy-nilly and right. NSA, I was for Obama, even though I was a conservative.
I can't trust anything. I mean, all these politicians just seem like actors. I mean, I call DC Hollywood for ugly people. It's you can't ever tell what these people really think. But I wanted to go into the media because really, why do you think the media is in a frenzy over Snowden's allegations? Really, you came out 8 years ago and said almost the same thing, except on a smaller scale, Russ, and really you've been censored. Tell us your story about trying to get this information out as well.
Well, I mean, as I was trying to get the news out, and I was trying to, with Snowden coming out, I figured now was the time to try to tell the rest of the story, because I've been holding on to this for a long time. And when I went on Keith Urban's show 4.5 years ago, I decided I was going to tell the media that NSA was going after journalists and news organizations, and there seemed to be no interest whatsoever from the media that I was telling that NSA was going after you. So they either considered me a liar, or they considered me, you know, NSA's, you know, oh, this guy must be crazy, or there must be some other interest that was making sure the media was not covering this. Now, I don't know what that is, but I know that it was not getting much coverage. So I figured with the Snowden thing, and the difference with Snowden is he has tangible evidence. Mm-hmm. He has paper. Mm-hmm. Now, because he has paper and it has classifications.
Who would silence the media on such a big story? either they're being threatened with their lives or they're being bought out. And I think it's the first one. And they've seen their fellow journalists be killed.
They are after him because he has the tangible proof of what I've said in the past. It's easy to dismiss me when it's my words and you just say, well, that guy is a lying or crazy liar. But now we have the proof that what I've said in the past is true. And they want Snowden bad because he's now codified the truth of what is going on with the National Security Agency.
You've said that we are living in a police state right now. Why?
Well, I sort of consider this sort of a light police state because they're hiding the fact that it's a police state. I mean, the fact that they can literally go into all of our communications, all our digital communications, the fact that, you know, it's been disclosed recently that the post office is now doing a cover on every tangible letter that goes to the post office. They're taking a picture of everything. They're looking at the return address, and they're looking at the main address of who's mailing something, and that is also being digitally stored. So every means of communication in this country, everything is being watched by the federal government, and that is Orwellian, and that is a trademark of a police state.
Thank you so much. We're going to have to wrap it up now. A lot more to be said. Russ, I'm glad you're in town. I'll have to get you on again soon. Russ Tice, original NSA whistleblower. Thank you.
Great.
As the ongoing NSA revelations yield.
Great interview. Great interview. While we're on the subject of politics, I would like to just mention a couple of things before I wrap this up and we'll go on to something new. Let me look this up here. Okay, so on June 21st, I had noted that this happened 6 days ago. So that means almost 2 weeks ago, David Rockefeller, who has committed so many atrocities in this world, and he was cloned in 1995 by King of Swords. They say that he is still alive and walking around, but that is his clone. And his son, Richard Rockefeller, was found in a plane crash, a single-engine plane crash where he was the pilot. There was this guy, Julian, who did a three-hour YouTube who said that his body was taken up into ships, and that's a bunch of nonsense. If you don't think that we're in the Battle of Armageddon at the last minute, we are so close to disclosure now. And Richard Rockefeller, the son of David Rockefeller, you know, who Lawrence Rockefeller and the Rockefeller Initiative was planning on doing disclosure. But what happened was the powers that be, the ones who are really in charge, the intelligence community and the Department of Defense community and MJ-12, who are all about integrity, even though, you know, you understand what context I mean that in. They said, no. Bill Clinton cannot be the disclosure president. He doesn't have enough integrity. We can't let him go down in history to be the disclosure president. And we're not going to call him to do that for us right now. We're not ready because it's not going to be him. Lawrence Rockefeller was going to open this truth embargo wide open with bringing the newspaper articles to the front page of every major newspaper in the United States. And he worked with President Clinton from 1993 to 1996. And we have this information because Grant Cameron did a Freedom of Information Act request for information, and he got this information. There's 2,000 papers that are stored in the Clinton Library that they were going to release, it was going to be all the information we had about UFOs in the United States government. And at the last minute, Hillary Clinton said, no, we're not going to do that. And recently, they've been releasing papers. I don't know if it's John Podesta doing that or what's going on, but recently the Clinton Library has been releasing more and more papers. I think they've released 30,000 papers, and people like Grant Cameron are going through it and reading it to see if they've released the UFO documents yet. We don't know when those are going to be coming out, but there's supposed to be thousands more pages coming out very soon. So in this battle of Armageddon, we are getting so close to disclosure, and now Richard Rockefeller was found dead and in a plane accident, which can so easily be manipulated with you know, a bomb that's placed on the plane and is programmed to go off at a certain altitude. That happens all the time. The next thing we know, 4 days later, we get a notice from Dr. Stephen Greer that he has removed himself from all disclosure activities, all personal appearances, all seminars, everything that he was going to do to be out there speaking the truth like nobody else can. Dr. Greer, who produced the Serious Disclosure movie, and he's been working with the military officials. He had the Disclosure Project, and in 2001, in May of 2001, they did the testimony of all those military witnesses at the National Press Club. And a few months later, from May to September, now NASARA was scheduled to be announced and enacted on September 11th of 2001. In May, the spring before that, they had this disclosure project come to completion with all this testimony going public. And that's when Henry Kissinger's plan kicked in for 9/11. They had built those explosives into the corner beams of that building, of those buildings, and brought them down. They pulled them. And they had that set up because they knew the day would come when disclosure would be announced, and they were prepared to stop it. And Alan Greenspan was in the lobby of the World Trade Center that morning. He was going to do the public announcements. He didn't want to do them. He's a dragon. But he was ordered to do them. And instead of that, they had 9/11, and they set this back 14 years since then. Because they knew that as soon as they committed that mass psychological attack, that it would put disclosure on the back burner for a little while. And they were right. So the reason that Dr. Stephen Greer said he's not going out in public anymore is because his wife was newly diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is absolutely tragic. I'm so upset about that news. And we saw when we watched the Sirius movie where he had explained to us these cancer scares that they had been infected before and that his assistant passed away and that he was the only one who survived the cancer. And to know that his wife is suffering now is just unacceptable. So we don't have Dr. Stephen Greer helping with the battle right now. This is the Battle of Armageddon. This is the end moment, everybody. They took him out because we're so close. 3 days after we had that announcement, Stephen Bassett, the executive director of Paradigm Research Group, put out a public notice stating that the Congressional Hearings Initiative is postponed until after the elections, which will take place on November 4th of 2014. And there were several reasons for that. I would like to read this to you. It's profound what he said about this. The beginning says, you know what? I need to open this in a different window because I don't have the link here. So I'm just going to pull it up for you. Hopefully I can find it very quickly. Hold on. Alrighty, I'm just looking. Here we go. Okay, June 20th of 2014. I have to read this to you because nobody can say it the way Stephen says it. The Congressional Hearing Initiative has been rescheduled to launch right after the November 4th midterm election. This rescheduling is primarily the result of new political developments and the proximity to the election. This is what it is, in case you don't know. We're already in June. The DVDs are not yet shipped to Congress. The editing is still going on. So now, United States Congress takes a month off at the end. So the reason the congressional hearings was put off this summer, in case you don't know, is because in the summertime, Congress takes a one-month vacation at the end of summer, and they come back in September. So this September, if we were to go to them about congressional hearings, then they would tell us, hey, I'm in the middle of an election. I have an election 8 weeks from now. I can't talk to you about that. So as the date got pushed out and pushed out and pushed out into the summer, we've run out of time. So now we had to put it off for 4 more months. And that's okay. It's not a defeat in any way. It gives us more time to gather ourselves and get our act together, because we're going to put the hammer down and put the last nails in the coffin when we get back in the fall. So let me read this to you. The Congressional Hearing Initiative has been rescheduled to launch right after the November 4th midterm election. This rescheduling is primarily the result of new political developments and the proximity to the election. The political developments include the Veterans Medical Care scandal, the Bergdahl prisoner swap, and the Sunni insurgency spreading across Syria and Iraq. This toxic combination in play during the last months of the congressional election campaigns will make worse a hyperpartisan political climate many thought could not get worse. I was on that list of people who thought it couldn't get worse. They were wrong. I was so wrong. There are some benefits to this strategy. It will provide more time for PRG to raise the level of funding needed to give the initiative a real chance to succeed. Perhaps of greater value is the congressional members will either have won or lost the election. The winners will be feeling confident and mandated. The losers, most facing the end of their political career, may be open to doing something profound before leaving office on January 3rd of 2015. As indicated in the last PRG update, a new, relevant, open letter to President Obama is ready for wider publication and previewed in ExoPolitics magazine. The White House disclosure petition number 6 is ready for submission to We the People. A place to stay near the Capitol Hill has been secured for the summer. The CHI email and tweet storm will be coordinated at www.factsonwashington.org. All of this will unfold in early November. And he says, note, while the CHI has been postponed until November, when the CHD DVD sets will be shipped to the Congress, the contributor CHD DVD sets will be delivered soon. So they just about have all of the editing done. He adds a commentary on to the end of this. Now, as far as these, before I go into that, as far as he's talking about the Veterans Medical Care scandal, the Bergdahl prisoner swap, and the Sunni insurgency, I have posted on my Facebook wall the long explanation of why those things matter and what the background history is and how it's affecting us and the truth embargo. So if you are on Facebook, you can go and look at those posts. And I will be sharing more in the weeks to come on the radio about those things. Steve's commentary is poetry. So we're in the last few minutes of the radio program. I'm going to make sure to get to the end. I hope you enjoy this. It should speak deeply to your heart and everything that we care about. These are Steve Bassett's words. Not surprisingly, the question most asked of me is, when will disclosure happen? There have been windows of opportunity which I have pointed out and attempted to capitalize on. Some people have predicted the actual date, always a mistake. No one knows when disclosure will occur, but the question is asked, and for a number of years, my answer has been consistent. Disclosure is inevitable and soon, but when will it be soon enough? It is the soon enough aspect of this answer some struggle to understand. My father served in the Navy during World War II. He was at Guadalcanal, among other places of note. I don't believe he killed anyone. He was a medic, but he saw things he never talked about when he returned. Many a father and son became estranged because dad couldn't talk about the most profound experience in his life, or for that matter, much else. World War II ended with the firebombing of Japanese cities and the nuclear bombing of two more cities, leading to a quick surrender. My father was released through Australia to return to America and conceive one more baby boomer. One more nuclear child, one more potential recruit for the next conflict. The dogs of war have been chasing the human race down through history for at least 8,000 years. There have been 250 wars just since the year 1900, generating 80 million war casualties and hundreds of millions of refugees. Note, the world refugee count recently reached 50 million for the first time since World War II. Each war sets the stage for the next. World War II prefaced wars in Korea and Vietnam, among many others, and of course, World War III. The end game was at hand. Humans had finally created weapons that could not destroy it all. People, infrastructure, even the biosphere. World War III would be the crowning achievement of the human race's love affair with weapons and violence. But alas, World War III became the Cold War. Humans caught a break. Of even greater import, at exactly the same time, a pending World War III morphed into the Cold War. It began to rain extraterrestrials around the world. Apparently, the dogs of war were not the only creatures following humans down through millennia. When the Cold War ended, halfway through the presidential term of George H.W. Bush, the door to disclosure opened. From the perspective of the military intelligence community, Bush would have been the perfect disclosure president. However, there was a war underway, the Gulf War. Giving logic to holding off until Bush's second term, the second term never came and the door closed. 9 years later, the disclosure advocacy movement was making headway and 100 media assembled in the ballroom of the National Press Club to be introduced to the testimony of scores of military events and evidence confirming an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. The May 9th, 2001 press conference produced by the Disclosure Project was a milestone event. The door opened again. He doesn't mention the SAR, but that is the reason. 4 months later, almost to the day, a massive attack took place in New York and Washington, D.C. The dogs of war were loose again. A new war with more to follow was a month away, and the door closed. 12 years later, 40 witnesses from 10 countries testified in that same ballroom for 30 hours over 5 days before six former members of the United States Congress. This was not a press conference. It was a citizen hearing, and it was filmed and webcast. 2000 on disclosure was an unprecedented event, and the door to disclosure opened again. The citizens hearing on disclosure was designed and intended to be the prelude to a congressional hearing initiative, leading to congressional hearings and to the end of the truth embargo soon enough. For this reason, the delays that developed after the CHD were painful and concerning for good reason. As the November launch of the Congressional Hearing Initiative approaches, the dogs of war are sniffing new meat and gathering for the next war. And so it goes. The global human societal presence is just one coronial mass ejection event, one massive Ebola outbreak, one nuclear weapons miscalculation, one global financial meltdown away from chaos, and all this while the biosphere strains under a growing assault on its fundamental structure and balance. Ultimately, the proliferation of nuclear and bioweapons materials and technology unchecked by paradigm change only leads to one outcome, the end of the human civilization. Those extraterrestrials will masonically intervene and prevent this outcome without disclosure. First are rolling the existential dice. The CHI will go forward, wars or no wars. We are running out of time. PRGs invites all who understand the dynamic to step forward and support the CHI now while it's still soon enough. I have to close with that thought. Please pray on that and think about what you're going to do.
She's here.